and now evangelist David Shannon.
We'll open your Bibles to Luke, the 11th chapter. Luke, the 11th chapter gives us a beautiful insight to prayer. As we studied in our adult Bible class this morning, we saw what Jesus said in Matthew, the 6th chapter, in the Sermon on the Mount. He spoke about the motive for which we pray. And so then He gave them an example of how prayer should be. We're going to look at that example, except I would like for us this morning to look at it from Luke's account in Luke, the 11th chapter. I like the way he begins, and I like the reading that Luke has here. Let's read verse 1. "And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, When we pray, say." Can you imagine? Grown, religious men saying, Lord, teach us to pray. These men grew up in Jewish families. They were taught probably at a very young age how to pray to God. These men were men that had been in religious settings quite often throughout their life and surely had heard and spoken many prayers. And they walk upon Jesus praying. Now notice, they did not say, Lord, teach us how to pray. They didn't want more methods. They were not asking, Jesus, repeat that again so I can hear the phrases and memorize these phrases. They said, Lord, teach us to pray. What they saw in Jesus, they looked at their own life and they said, we're not even doing that. They saw Jesus praying. And they realized that really they were not praying at all. Have you ever felt that way? Surely you have at least once or twice. Very often I will hear someone pray. There's such beautiful prayers that we have uttered in our worship services sometimes. And I feel that very same way. Lord, teach me to pray. Just a week or so ago, we, with the last leaders, went over to the Gladdens and little Charlie led the prayer for the food. And many times when I hear a young child pray, I can't help but to think, teach me to pray. The poem was given to me just the other day. It expresses that same thought. Dear God, my little boy of 3 has said his nightly prayer to Thee. Before his eyes were closed in sleep, he asked that Thou his soul would keep. And I, still kneeling at his bed, my hand upon his tasseled head, do ask with deep humility that Thou, dear Lord, remember me. Make me kind, Lord, a worthy dad, that I may lead this little lad in pathways ever fair and bright, that I may keep his steps aright. O God, his trust must never be destroyed or even marred by me. Let Christ in all my actions shine to guide this little lamp of Thine. So for the simple things he prayed with childish voice so unafraid, I, trembling, ask the same from Thee. Dear Lord, kind Lord, remember me. Very oftentimes we hear the children and we hear the simplicity of their prayer and the honesty of their prayer, and we can't help but to thank God, Jesus, someone, teach me how to pray. When I was married, I received a card from my mother, and inside the card it said, X number of years ago when you were born, I held you in my arms and I prayed that I would raise you in a way that you grow up to be a Christian. And I also prayed that the parents of your wife-to-be would start now raising that lady, that little girl, to be a Christian, so that you will have a firm foundation to build on for a family. And I couldn't help but to close that card and think, Lord, teach me to pray. There's so many avenues and so many powers in prayer that we overlook, that we forget. And surely as these men walked upon Jesus and perhaps even heard the words that He was uttering, they realized, I haven't been praying. I haven't been using all the resources that I have. Jesus, teach me to pray. And so he began. He said, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. If I'm going to learn to pray, I must realize that God is my Father. Now, you can use that illustration to some children, and that offends them. They don't want to think of God as a father figure because their father has abused them. Their father has neglected them. Their father left them, and they don't even know who their father is. They just have an image that it's a distorted image, and they don't like the image of father. Here Jesus says, it's not any kind of earthly father that makes mistakes. He says it's that image of a perfect father that's loving. That's a heavenly father where everything is perfect. And it's not only that, but it's a father that you can say, hallowed be thy name, glorify thy name, perfection is thy name. If we don't realize that of our heavenly father, if we honestly cannot say, He's my Father. He's the one that provides for me. He's the one that looks over me and directs my steps. If He's not that Father to me, I will never know the prayer that Jesus was trying to teach. Look with me, if you will, to Matthew, the 25th chapter. In Matthew, the 25th chapter, we have, I believe, exactly what Jesus was warning against. It's in a parable, but yet I think it's very appropriate. You know the story of the man who had the 5 talents, 3 talents, the 2 talents, the 1 talent. The 5 did well. Said, well done, thou good and faithful servant. The 2 did well. Well done. But I want you to notice the relationship that the 1 talent man has. Let's not notice here that he didn't use his talent. Let's notice the relationship he had with this man. Verse 24, Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid and went and hid my talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast what is thine. Brethren, as long as we have that kind of relationship, we will never know prayer as Jesus prayed. As long as we say, Father, I'm fearful of you. Father, I think you're going to mistreat me. As the poet once said, Father, I think you're going to dangle me over hell and perhaps you'll cut the string. Father, you're just out to punish me. No, it's not that kind of Father we're praying to. We're praying to the Heavenly Father that loves us. And we should recognize Him as our Father. The one that guides us, protects us, and wants what is best for us. Notice also, back to the 11th chapter, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Submission. I first must realize He's my Father. A kind, loving Father. Second, I must realize that His will should be done. Now, that's not always easy. Many times I want to think that I know what's best. Many times I want to do simply what I want to do. I must realize that God's will be done. As we studied in Matthew 6:8, before we ever had the need, God knew our need. Have you stopped to think about that? Before we ever had the need, God knew the need would come someday, and He prepared for it. Before you ever needed timber to build a house, God planted a tree. Before you ever needed natural gas to heat your home, God put it in the earth. And the list could go on and on and on. This morning, you didn't have to get up and pray for water to come out of the faucet. God gave you that water before you had that need this morning. When you think on that for a few minutes, doesn't it seem foolish to say, Now, God, I want to tell you what my needs are. And if you love me, God, you're going to fulfill these needs. And if you don't love me, Well, I will know that if you don't answer my prayers the way I want them answered. That's dangerous. And we need to realize, let God's will be done. But now in prayer, to pray that kind of prayer, the life must be the example of it. You see, it's hard to have the prayer life of the Lord's will be done when I won't obey the Lord's will. If I won't attend the assemblies, it's hard for me to have a prayer life and say, Lord, Thy will be done. When I mistreat my neighbors, it's hard for me to have a prayer life and say, Thy will be done. When I don't love and pray for my enemies, it's hard for me to have a prayer life as Jesus was speaking of. Oh, the list could go on and on. I must strive in my life to live the will of God, and then I must in my prayers be submitting to God. I think that's what Jesus was trying to express and stress when He said, Thy will be done. Notice what else He said in verse 3. Give us day by day our daily bread. If I were to tell you in Jesus' prayer, the exact words were not expressed, but the exact thought was expressed of pray without ceasing. Would you agree? I believe that's what Jesus is saying here. He expresses it in a little different words, but He says pray without ceasing. You see, yesterday, I must be honest with you, it was easy for me to pray. It was real easy. Sometimes when there's a death, it's easy to pray. It's easy to remember God. Sometimes when there's sickness, it's easy. We can go every day and not forget. Well, Jesus, what are you saying here? He says, you take those things that you have every day. Not the fancy feast that you prepare for the king or for your rich friends. He says, you take that bread that you eat every day, the bread that perhaps you eat with two or three meals of every day. He says, you thank the Lord for that. You see what Jesus is saying? He's saying pray without ceasing. He says, you thank the Lord for the little things. You remember the Lord in the good times and the hard times. You pray without ceasing. Truly, if we can remember God in our daily needs, even though it's simple, it will humble us. It will cause me to realize that I really am not in control of my life. That even for those little things that I must have to survive, God is granting me those as well. Notice the fourth and final thing that Jesus says to pray for. And forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Brethren, we must deal with sin if we're ever to pray as Jesus prayed. Now you see, Jesus was not guilty of any sins. We all know that. But we also know that we all are guilty of sins if we reach an accountable age. So here Jesus was teaching them to pray, and He says, you pray like this. Ask forgiveness of sins. But notice how He ends that verse there, verse 4. But deliver us from evil. Have you ever thought that there's almost always more ways to do anything than one? You know, there's the old saying is there's 100 ways to skin a cat. There's 1,000 ways to get rich. You can name something and there's more than one way to do it. Whether it's going from here to Nashville or here to Birmingham or whether it's anything. There's almost always more than one way to do it. But you tell me, how do you leave sin? How do you leave wickedness? How do you turn away from evil? There's only one way. Only one way. Here Jesus says, you remember that. And He says, you pray that you will leave that wickedness. And He says, you ask for forgiveness. How we all need to make sure that we've left sin behind. how we need to make sure we've left sin behind, not just by stopping the sin, but by asking God to forgive us of our past. And when we do that, we're then ready to forgive others. You remember Simon the sorcerer wanted to buy the powers of the Holy Spirit? He didn't tell him, leave that wickedness. He told him to pray forgiveness along with leaving. Brethren, today I need to realize that a part of praying for forgiveness is leaving the sin behind. And a part of leaving the sin behind is praying forgiveness. One without the other will not help. To be right spiritually, I must do both. And then comes in the latter. Then I'm ready to forgive others. Prayer. Jesus, teach me how to pray. And He says, you remember your Father. You remember He's your Heavenly Father, the one that supplies your needs. He says, then you also remember to submit to that Heavenly Father. You also remember that that Heavenly Father is the one every day giving you the things you need. And you remember to make things right with that Heavenly Father when you wrong Him. And you remember to make things right with others when they wrong you or you wrong them. And brethren, that's a short prayer. That's a very short prayer. But remember the man on the cross to the side of Jesus, the criminal. How long was his prayer to Jesus? And what was the result? Prayer does not necessarily have to be long to have powerful results. Jesus, in just a few words, said enough for us to work on a lifetime in trying to perfect. This morning I close by asking you those same points again. Is God your Heavenly Father? Are you submitting your life to God? Do you realize that He's giving you everything you need and He's offering even salvation? And also, that we all need to be willing to turn away from our sins, ask forgiveness in the past, and strive to be steadfast in the future. If you've become a Christian, but yet you've fallen away, how's your prayer life? It's hard to have a proper prayer life when the proper spiritual life is not in order. If you've never become a Christian, how's your prayer life? It's hard to have it in order too. It's impossible. This morning, you've heard, believed, turn away from those sins. Confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and be baptized to wash those sins away. If we can help you in any way this morning, won't you come as we stand, as we sing.